Welcome to today's session. This is Dr. Ruth. Jesus is Lord. Thank you for joining me today as we continue our in-depth verse-by-verse study out of the ministry of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We are in the Gospel of Luke. Hopefully, you have been following me in this podcast and you have listened to the previous session. Better yet, hopefully you've listened to the Gospels of Matthew and Mark. So today we are in Luke chapter 4, and this is a rather lengthy chapter, so I will do multiple sessions here. But the gist of this chapter is that we will learn how the Lord Jesus was tempted by Satan and how God used that period as a test, okay? And also, I want to just say we are going to learn in this chapter how the Lord Jesus would truly authenticate the Old Testament scriptures. He would quote out of the Old Testament scripture or scriptures a lot, again, authenticating the Word of God as true, as real, and as the only antidote that we have to come against the lies of the enemy. Okay, but before we get into the verses here in Luke chapter 4, I want to just lay the foundation which will really help you moving forward with the verses. I want to talk about the temptation, and I want to talk about why the Lord Jesus was tempted before we even get into the verses, so that when we get into the verses, it will make sense. And before I even continue, I want to say, if you have not yet subscribed to this podcast right here on Podbean, no matter where you're listening from, it could be iTunes, Google Chrome's, it could be on Apple, please click that subscribe button. And then really, if you are being blessed by this, like it and share it and send us some feedback. I want to hear from you how this Bible teachings are helping you. I know they are helping you. Send us an email. That way we can know how the Lord is using this in your life. Okay. So before we get into the verses, let's talk about some critical background information here about temptation. Before I even begin, I want to state right away that that word to be tempted or tempt or temptation, if you were to study that in the original language, Greek, it is actually called, hopefully I'm going to say this right, pirazo, okay? So pirazo means to make proof of or to be tested. So depending on the context, it could be temptation and testing can be used. So we would have to look into the context to then discern whether a person or an individual is being tempted or is being tested. So let's take a look at temptation. Again, keep in mind that it is the same root word, pirazo, for being tempted and for being tested. Let's look at temptation. Temptation is always from the devil, Satan. Know this. Temptation is always from Satan. Temptation is never of God, is never from God. God will never tempt us into evil. We are told this in many scriptures. One is coming to mind, James 1, 13 through 16. Temptation is always from the devil, but God would use that to test us. God would allow the temptation so he could test us, and we will get into the testing in a few minutes here, okay? So temptation shows that there is a real devil. Mm-hmm. Because there are many Christians under the false notion that the devil is not real. And unfortunately, that is what Satan, the devil, wants you to believe, that he does not exist. That way, he would devour you. Satan is real. Satan is a fallen angel. And he has other angels to do his evil works against the children of God. So whenever you are being tempted, know that it's always from Satan. Temptation in and of itself is not sin. Mm-hmm. Jesus was tempted. Jesus was sinless. So when you are being tempted by Satan, know that you are not sinning. Now, when you act on the temptation, it becomes sin. So when you are being tempted, it's not sin. You just need to know that God can allow that as a test. Now, let us talk about testing. Why would God allow testing? The Bible teaches us, again, this is where so many Christians are in error, that God would not allow testing in the life of his children. That is absolutely false. We are told all over the scriptures that God would allow testing for many reasons. Before I even get to why God would allow testing, we are told in the five books of Moses, which I have covered in this podcast, one scripture is coming to mind, Deuteronomy 8, 2 through 4, that God allowed the children of the nation of Israel to be tested, okay? And that testing was to prove to them that they need him as their God. That testing was to prove to them, the children of Israel, that they cannot depend on their own wisdom. And obviously, we know that Jesus was tempted by Satan, and God used that as testing. So what is the purpose for God allowing the testing in the life of his children? Number one, just as I explained with the children of Israel in the Old Testament, it's an opportunity for you to grow and be affirmed in your relationship with God. As an example, let's just use this. Let's say finances. The Bible teaches us clearly that God is our provider. Mm-hmm. Now, if you believe that in your heart and you never put that to practice, how do you know that you truly believe God? Mm-hmm. So you may believe in your heart that God is your provider, but until you lose your job and then you don't have the next meal, that's how you know that you truly believe that, because that belief will be tested. So a lot of times we think we believe things, and then when we are put into the test, we fail. And the failing is just to let us know that, oh my God, I need to believe more. I need to be more dependent on God. So when we are tested and we pass the test, it affirms our belief system. It affirms our relationship with God. So testing for the life of a believer is good because it helps you to grow in your relationship with God. Number two, testing foster dependency. Mm-hmm. Because when you are being tested, whether you fail or you pass the test, it just makes you to come to the true realization that you need to depend on God in every and all circumstances in life. When you don't go through a test, how do you know that you truly believe in God in every area of life? Until you fail the test, i.e., let's say, talking about finances again, you lose your job, you're struggling, and then you fall apart, and then you get into depression. That is somebody who is failing the test. But when you get up and you stand firm in your belief that God is your provider, God will open doors for you, and you persevere through, as the Bible teaches us to, you would be passing that test and you would be learning how to be more dependent on God's faithfulness. Are you getting this? So testing for the life of a believer is good. Number three, testing reveals to you who you are made up of. Oh my goodness, this is so critical. You don't know. Talk is cheap. You've heard that, right? Anyone can say, oh, I trust God as my healer. Uh-huh. I trust God for deliverance. I trust God for A, B, and C. Until you go through the test, that is when you even know who you are. Mm-hmm. Because crises don't make you. Crises reveal how strong or weak you are as a person. Crises reveal how dependent you are on God or on others or on yourself. So a wise Christian would be one who is dealing with a crisis and then quickly realize that, I, you know what, I am weak here. I need to depend more on God. So that is one thing that testing would do. It would reveal you to you, which was exactly what God did to the nation of Israel to put them through this test. So the nation of Israel can realize that on their own, they cannot make it. They have to depend on God. Likewise, when you are going through a temptation and God is using that as a test in your life, it is to help you to discern how strong or how weak you are, how mature you are, and how much more you need to grow and trust God, the Holy Spirit. So overall, for the life of a child of God, testing is an awesome thing. It strengthens you. It helps you grow in your relationship with God. And testing is something that God will allow in our lives because He wants us to receive the best. But temptation is never of God. Temptation is always from the devil. Okay, moving on here, the next thing I want to discuss before we even get into these verses is why was Jesus Christ tempted and why did God allow that as a test? Number one, as you know, hopefully, Jesus Christ was God 100% and man 100%. That temptation of Jesus Christ by Satan proves that Jesus Christ was a human being like us 100%. And of course, he was God 100%. And as you know, Jesus Christ had this dualistic nature, God 100%, man 100%. So that temptation and testing reveals the humanity of Jesus Christ. Number two, God allowed this testing of Jesus Christ to teach us how to overcome temptations because we live in a fallen world. Each of us, as a child of God, we would encounter various temptations in this dark world. Jesus Christ has set a precedence for how to deal with it. And at the end of today's session, I will discuss 5 ways to deal with temptations and overcome. Number 3, why Jesus Christ had to go through this temptation and God used it as testing. Jesus Christ had to go through this so he can identify with us. Okay, Hebrews 4:15-16 teaches that Jesus Christ is our high priest, that he went through all temptations, but he did not sin. So when we are going through temptations and God is allowing it as a test, we can have confidence that Jesus Christ, who had been there, is there with us, and we should not and we don't need to sin because Jesus Christ did it and he is available to help us. Number 4, why Jesus Christ had to go through this temptation and testing so he can overcome Satan, the evil one. And he overcame, okay? Number 5, why Jesus had to go through the temptation and the testing is to teach us that when we are going through temptations in this life and God allows it as a testing, God is not mad at us. And it's not because we've done something wrong. Jesus Christ, sinless, perfect man, had to be tempted by Satan. And God allowed that as a test. So as I mentioned earlier, temptation is not sin. Jesus Christ never sinned. He was tempted. And God used it as a test. So when you are going through that, don't be so hard on yourself. You've done something wrong. Maybe not. The enemy, Satan, is the accuser of the brethren. He just attacks at times for no reason. He may just be attacking your godliness. So don't blame yourself or don't throw in the towel thinking you've done something wrong. It's part of being a human being. It's part of being a child of God. Okay? And lastly, number 6, which really is the most important reason in my view why Jesus Christ had to go through this temptation and God allowed it as a test, is so that Jesus Christ as a man can prove to himself and build confidence in his own mission, his own calling, and his allegiance with God. Mm-hmm. It affirmed to the Lord Jesus Christ that he is truthfully dependent on God. He is truthfully dependent on God's word. He truthfully can overcome and has and did overcome Satan. So this was so crucial for Jesus Christ to come to this period of temptation and win this battle. That way his confidence can be quickened, that way his boldness can be quickened, and everything about his ministry can be affirmed. Likewise, when we overcome temptations, we are confident, we are affirmed, we are bold, correct? So those were the six reasons why the Lord Jesus had to be tempted, and God allowed it as testing. And as I mentioned, at the end of the session today, I will discuss five key ways we can overcome temptation in this dark world. With that background, let us get into the verses proper. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, if you had listened to the previous session, the Lord Jesus had been baptized, and now he is filled with the Holy Spirit. He's about to begin his ministry. Oh my God, let me just say this briefly. This is a precedence that the Lord Jesus is setting. Before we can step into ministry, before we can call ourselves Bible teachers, pastors, ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need to be filled by the Holy Spirit. And as you've heard me say, when you come to Christ, when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are sealed by God, the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1:13. But there is a separate baptism when the Holy Spirit come upon you and you're filled with power. The book of Acts teaches this. You are filled with power primarily to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and to live as a Christian in this fallen world. Because a Christian life is a supernatural life whereby the Holy Spirit walks and lives in you and lives in you, and then you live out this life. So if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, boy, I just recommend that. You know what? Let me just do this right now. I just feel led by God to do this. If you have not been filled, or if you've not experienced the second baptism, it's so simple. The Word of God teaches that God withholds nothing from us. So I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, I just pray for all those who want to be filled by the Holy Spirit right now. I just pray that because you withhold no good thing from us, and it is your will that they are filled with the Holy Spirit so they can preach Christ boldly, I just release the power of the Holy Spirit into their life right now. They are filled right now. Thank you for the God that they have received this filling. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you said that prayer with me and you received that feeling of the Holy Spirit, just receive it by faith that you've been filled. And one evidence of that is speaking in tongues. And just by faith, move your lips. Just repeat after me. Oh, sheba rababa semba basura basheba sira basokura basera baba sereba. Just by faith, speak, and you will hear a strange language come out of your mouth. Just practice that. That is just one evidence that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. There are many others, such as preaching Christ boldly and living as a Christian boldly. There are many, many signs that you're filled with the Holy Spirit, but speaking in tongues is just one of them, okay? And it's a daily feeling. You can ask to be filled multiple times a week. It's not just a one-time occurrence, and you just got to practice your heavenly language. And when you feel distressed, pray in your heavenly language. It's as simple as that. So if you did take that step of faith to just receive that prayer as I prayed for you, and you were able to, by faith, start speaking in that strange language, please contact me. I just felt led to do this because we are learning right here in Luke 4, the very first verse, that Jesus Christ did not begin his public ministry until he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Why do you think that is the case? Because you need that boldness, as the Bible teaches us in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. So Jesus Christ now has exemplified to us that being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit is absolutely necessary to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself was filled with the Holy Spirit before he started his ministry. I just had to state that, so relevant. Okay, moving on now. So the Lord Jesus Being filled by the Holy Spirit was led into the wilderness to be tempted. And if you were to study that in the original language, Greek, it is described in such a way that he was urged by the Holy Spirit. He was compelled by God the Holy Spirit to get into the wilderness. Of course, because God the Holy Spirit knew that Satan was going to tempt him there. And Jesus Christ, as I mentioned earlier, had to go through this to overcome. So he was led by God the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. We pick it up here in verse 2, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, we are now in verse 3, the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Right away, we see one trick that Satan was using on the Lord Jesus. He attacked his identity. If you are who you say you are, do this. It's the same way Satan attacks us today. If you are a child of God, how come you are struggling with your finances? If you claim that God is your healer, how come you have this disease in your body? If you are so, how come so? Satan, that is his MO. In the same way he attacked the identity of Jesus Christ, likewise, he is attacking us today. But friend, you are a beloved, accepted child of God. Do not be deceived. Okay? So now, let's find out how the Lord Jesus would respond. We are in verse 4. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. So we see how Satan had tempted the Lord Jesus to prove his identity. And the Lord Jesus quoting scripture out of Deuteronomy 8, 3 to 4. Again, Deuteronomy 8 verses 3 to 4 is telling Satan the truth. Already the Lord Jesus is coming against the lies with truth, setting a precedent that when we are attacked by the lies of Satan, we have to quote the truth, the scripture, okay? That is what is happening here. We are in verse 5. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. Now, let me pause. We see how Satan is about to test the pride of the Lord Jesus, showing him all the kingdoms of the world. That way he can be prideful, okay? Because Satan is promising to give it to him. Let's see how Satan proceeds here. We are in verse 6. And he said, this is Satan now talking to the Lord Jesus. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours. Let me pause. You know, Satan is using some level of truth to manipulate here. It is true. We know that the scripture teach that Satan is a prince of the air of this world, right? But for a limited time. He is running rampant in this world right now. He is just reigning and ruling and deceiving some of the kingdoms in this current world for a season up until the second coming of the Lord Jesus. So Jesus did not argue with Satan about the fact that Satan said, I can give you all these kingdoms, because it's true. Satan can manipulate people and give them all the kingdoms of the world. But what is happening here is that Satan is so good at making promises. Even if Satan said that and he meant that, do you think he would have given Jesus Christ all the kingdoms of the world? More than likely, he couldn't. Likewise, Satan would make promises to you, but he would not tell you the consequences of such promises. Number one, Satan couldn't have even given Jesus Christ all of the kingdoms of the world, because they are still righteous kingdom and righteous government. But I just want to bring this up, that Satan will exaggerate how much he can bless you. But it's a lie. Mm-hmm. A classic example how Satan can manipulate situations. You could have a couple dating and they call themselves Christians. They are not officially married. They can get into sexual immorality, having sex before marriage. And Satan could lie to them. Oh, don't worry about that. You're going to get married anyway. Oh, don't worry about that. God is going to forgive you anyway. Well, it's true. There's a partial truth in it. That you're going to get married, maybe. And God, in his love and mercy, will forgive you. That's true. But Satan doesn't tell you the consequences of that disobedience towards God, getting into sexual relations before marriage. Satan doesn't tell you that that act of disobedience has just opened the door for that relationship to not work. Satan will never tell you the consequences. He is going to deceive you, exaggerate, and then when you are trapped, he abandons you. Friend, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived, okay? So going back here, let me reread verse 6 and get into verse 7. Satan is speaking, and he said to him, I will give you all the authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours. Okay, we are now in verse 8. Satan has enticed the Lord Jesus to worship him, and let's find out how the Lord Jesus would respond. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Again, the Lord Jesus citing scripture, quoting out of the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 13. And again, learning how the truth from God's word, which is an absolute 100% truth, is the only antidote to overcome the lies from Satan. Verse 9, the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here. You see how Satan again is playing on the Lord Jesus' identity and pride, wanting the Lord Jesus to act prematurely as the Son of God. Boy, this is so typical of Satan. A classic example, we see this today, every day in the body of Christ. God may have given you a vision. You may be standing on a promise from God, but it is not God's timing yet. But Satan may lie to you to have you act prematurely, and then you miss God's timing. This is exactly what is happening here. Satan is asking the Lord Jesus to act prematurely as a Son of God. And the Lord Jesus, being the wisest man, discerned that. And let's continue. Satan wasn't done with him. Let's find out how Satan actually continued here. We are in verse 10. Satan is going to quote scripture, but he will manipulate the scripture. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Now, Satan is quoting Psalm 91, verses 11 through 12. Okay, this is after he had taken the Lord Jesus Christ and took him to the highest point of the temple and told him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down and the angels will catch you. And you see, while this scripture, there is some truth in it, but Satan is quoting it out of context. Because if you were to go and study Psalm 91, the very opening of Psalm 91 states clearly that the promises in Psalm 91 are only for those who are in obedience, for those who have chosen God to be their shelter. So Satan is quoting Psalm 91 here, asking Jesus to disobey God and to act prematurely, which is disobedience, and then claiming that Psalm 91, Jesus can still claim that promise. Are you getting this? It's exactly what I was saying, that God might have given you a vision and then you act prematurely in disobedience, and Satan may just tell you, oh, it's going to be okay. No, it's never okay to disobey God. It's never okay to step out in faith outside of God's timing. There's a reason why God wants us to wait. But I don't want to teach on waiting here, but this is exactly what we are seeing here. Satan is telling the Lord Jesus, oh, you can just throw yourself down and from the temple, and the angels are there. They're going to support you. And just so Jesus can prove that he is the Son of God, he is the Messiah, that way the Lord Jesus can act prematurely. And it was all a lie. So Satan will manipulate scriptures, take it out of context. Satan will manipulate verses of scripture and use it to deceive you. So be careful. When scriptures are coming into your heart, and you got to check it in context of who God is, and check it in context with what God is calling you to do, and make sure you don't disobey God because you're standing on some scripture that comes to your heart. Disobedience is always, always of the devil. God's ultimate primary will for the believer is that we obey him. Don't be deceived, okay? So we move on here. We are now in verse 12. Jesus answered. So after Satan had tried to deceive the Lord Jesus and to throw himself from the temple, he misquoted Psalm 91 out of context. The Lord Jesus responded here. Verse 12, Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Okay, the Lord Jesus again quoting the book of Deuteronomy 6:16. Again, the Lord Jesus teaching us that the word of God is the best antidote to overcome lies. Verse 13, when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. So the devil left the Lord Jesus for a season until an opportune time. And what is an opportune time? Satan, like we are taught, one scripture is coming to mind here, 1 Peter 5:8, that Satan is just roaring around like a lion seeking whom to devour. He is looking for an opportune time to attack again. What is an opportune time? When you are doubting God's word, that is a perfect opportune time for Satan to attack you. When you are tolerating fear, when you are living in fear and anxiety, rather than standing on God's promises, when you are living in sin, when you are living in disobedience, these are opportune times when Satan will strike. Satan has no power and authority over you, a child of God. The only authority he has is if you open the door for him in an opportune time. So be warned, okay? So I'm going to end this session here, and let's go over the major principles and applications we have learned out of the first 13 verses here. Okay, the major principle here is the temptation of the Lord Jesus and how he overcame with the word of God. And the Lord Jesus was tempted in the three areas of life that 1 John 2:16 teaches us that we often can be tempted in these areas, which is the lust of the flesh, really instant gratification. We just went over how Satan told the Lord Jesus to act prematurely. Second area of temptation, the lust of the eyes. We learned how he took the Lord Jesus to the highest portion of the temple and showed him all the beautiful kingdoms he could give to him, what we can see, feel, touch, and taste. And the third area where Satan tempted the Lord Jesus is pride. Mm-hmm. And 1 John 2:16 talked about all of this. So what are the major ways we can overcome temptation from Satan and pass the testing that God may allow in our life? Number one, we have to prepare in advance. If we want to overcome temptations and to pass the testing in life, the scripture teaches us clearly. One is coming to mind, Psalm 119, verses 10 through 13. The psalmist said he has hidden the word of God in his heart so he would not sin. Likewise, how do we prepare in advance? We take the word of God and we hide it in our heart through meditation. Okay, that is out of Psalm 119, verses 10 through 13. You take scriptures, you hide it in your heart. You prepare in advance. That way, when you are attacked by Satan with the tempting thought, you can just quote scriptures. You don't wait until the moment you are being tempted to go look for scriptures. For many of you, it might be too late. Okay, you need to prepare in advance. And the second way you can overcome temptations is just to avoid the tempter. Avoid the circumstances, the people, the things, whatever is causing you to be tempted, cut it off. The Lord Jesus teaches that if your one eye causes you to sin, plug it out. That was not the literal plugging out of your eye. The Lord Jesus is just teaching about the seriousness of avoiding sin, the things that will tempt you into sinning. And we know this example out of the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, Joseph, how when he was approached by Potiphar's wife, he ran. So you run away from the sin. You don't expose yourself to temptation. You don't stay in an environment that is tempting. You run, you avoid it, okay? Number three, I have said this before, just to repeat this, know that the only antidote to overcoming temptation from Satan is the Word of God. You have to know the Word of God. You need the truth, the Word of God, to overcome lies. Okay, we come to the fourth way that you can overcome temptations. You have to know that you know that, as I mentioned earlier, when you are being tempted, you are not in sin. It's only when you act. You have to know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ had been there. So he is there with you, giving you the power and the wisdom and the strength to overcome the temptation. Hebrews 4:15 through 16 teaches clearly that Jesus Christ, in fact, let me just read this to you. I have it here. Hebrews 4:15 through 16 teaches, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Verse 16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Friend, if you are dealing with a temptation in your life right now, Jesus Christ understands. That is exactly what Hebrews 4:15 through 16 is explaining. Jesus Christ understands. He has been there. Call upon him. Use his methods. Use his ways that he has shown us that he overcame temptation. Do the same. Jesus Christ is our role model. Quote scriptures, be steadfast, look upon God, do not give up. You stand on the truth and you will overcome and you will grow into an intimate relationship with God. And number five, ways to overcome temptation. Know that God can allow this in your life for your own good. So when you are fighting, know that you're fighting a good fight of faith. When you are fighting, know that God is taking you to a higher place, to a higher place in your relationship with him. Know that you are going to come out of this gold. You're going to come out of this with a testimony that will bless yourself, bless many, many, many others. That strength alone is a fortitude for you to know that you are coming out of this temptation. You don't need to give up. You are coming out of this. You have to believe that in your heart that God is taking you to higher places and you are coming out of this. I hope you receive this in Jesus' name. So in conclusion of this session, I want to say that, friend, testing for the life of a believer is a good thing. God will use the temptation as a test for you to grow. Okay? And whatever you do, whatever you're going through, whatever way the enemy is trying to lie to you, just know that you have God on your side. You have the Word of God, and you have control, you have authority, how you shut Satan down. First Peter 5:8-9, Satan is looking for whom to devour. Don't allow him to devour you. Close down, shut down the opportune times. Do not live in fear. Do not live in unforgiveness. Do not stay angry all the time. Do not let your anger. Ephesians 4:26 is teaching that if you are angry, do not sin. Do not give Satan a foothold into your heart. You are an overcomer in Christ. Whatever you're going through, God is with you. He shall never leave or forsake you. I hope you've been blessed by this. And before I go, I want to say I have a book that I believe will really help you. It's called Called to Endure with Joy, Overcoming Crisis. Even if you're not dealing with some temptation or challenges, I recommend you get this book. This is a Bible teaching book on how to just endure challenging times, how to just fight the good fight of faith. This book will bless you. It's just a Bible study book on how to deal with temptations and challenges and testing and trials and how to just overcome hardships. It's called Call to Endure with Joy, Overcoming Crisis God's Way. You can visit our website to get this book. It's a donation of $20 if you live in the continental USA. This book is also on Amazon, and we are going to attach the links in the description box how you can get this book. It will bless you. It's a simple book. You can read it in about 4 hours. It's packed with scriptures. It's a step-by-step guide how to overcome challenges daily. So to get this book from us, here are ways that you can get it from us as a donation. Visit our website, drruthtani.org/donate. Or we are also on Cash App. The address there is the $ Dr. Ruth Tani. We are also on Zelle. The telephone number is 909-501-9031. Okay? All of this will be attached in the description box. So we just thank you in advance for getting this book from us. It comes to us as a donation. I just hope that you've been encouraged today, you've been blessed by today's lesson, and you've been emboldened to overcome whatever challenges you're dealing with right now, because God is for you and not against you. Let us just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for all the listeners today. I thank you for the precious lessons we've learned from today's session. I thank you, God, that you allowed the Lord Jesus to go through this temptation and testing so we can learn how to overcome the evil one. Thank you for the priceless lessons that the Lord Jesus has taught us how to overcome temptations on a daily basis. Thank you for the God that we are well equipped to overcome the lies from the enemy. I lift up all the listeners, Father God, that whatever they're going through today, you've blessed them with truth how to fight. Whatever they are going through today, you are for them and not against them. I thank you for your peace guarding their hearts right now. I thank you for your word, which is providing clarity in their hearts. Thank you, Lord God, for today. We just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your faithfulness, that you shall never leave or forsake us, that you're fighting our battles for us. We just thank you, God. We give you all the glory. And I have prayed in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everybody says, Amen. God loves you.
So as you proceed with your day today, remember that God is with you always, enabling you to overcome in Jesus' name. I am Chris Oram. Stay blessed and bye for now.